Go with me to Joshua 6 real quick. Hallelujah. And if you're online, I would just encourage you, those who are online, just to, I see that we have Sue and Victoria and Anita and several others that are out there. But if you are online, just make sure that to stop by and say hello and just give us your name. Stay and just interact with the service that way. And if I see something there that catches my eye, I'm going to try to respond to it. I want to make it interactive for those who are at home, because we don't want anybody left out of what God is doing. Amen? Amen. So just encourage you to participate. And it's good to see you out there, Debbie. It's good to see you, Victoria, Misha. Amen. It's a little difficult seeing myself right in front of my face like that. That's a little different, but that's all right. We'll get used to it. Joshua 6. We've been studying this, and we've been looking at this a couple of different times, a couple of different ways. Oh, that's what's going on. I've got extra voices up here. It's because my sound's still on. Hallelujah. I was hearing things. I used to hear things, but I don't have to hear things anymore. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I've been set free, and I just got set free again. Hallelujah. Joshua 6. Sorry, somebody on the front row had fun with that. But it's true. You don't have to. You know, just because the enemy is in your life and in your ear doesn't mean you have to stay there. You don't have to stay there. Somebody needs to hear that. You don't have to stay there. You don't have to keep letting the enemy beat you up. You don't have to listen to him tell you that you're no good, that you're not worthy, that you're ugly, that you're whatever. You don't have to listen to that. It's not what God said. And those voices, they have a way of stopping when you start applying yourself to the kingdom of God. Amen? Amen. Glory to God. Okay. Hallelujah. And it says here in verse 2, it says, "And the Lord said to Joshua, 'See, I have given Jericho into your hand. See, I have given Jericho into your hand.'" In other words, I want you to begin to picture, and I want you to begin to have an understanding of what I've put in you, what I've already done for you, how I've gone before you and prepared a way. I want you to see it. Remember, we said last week, we talked about see, which is basically to observe, consider, give attention to, perceive, advise self, and have a vision. In other words, I want you to advise yourself that this has already been done. I want you to have a vision that this has already been established. It's in my heart, and now I'm sharing my heart with you so you can see it. That's when we begin to perambulate, we begin to walk with the Lord, we begin to allow Him to speak into our heart and to visit with Him and see and allow Him to speak His truth and His heart for us into about a particular area. That's what you're doing. You're beginning to see what He already called you to. In the same way that Jesus never did anything that He hadn't already seen of the Father, He begins to cause you to have that same insight as to what is coming. God has spoken to His people for generations and generations and generations. He has spoken to His people long before, even before He gave us the Holy Spirit to do it with. In the Old Testament, you see all these prophets that are released where He's speaking to them. But not just the prophets, He spoke to Abraham as well. He spoke to He spoke to David. He spoke to Solomon. He spoke to them about things that were in their midst, but also things that were yet to come. Some of the most beautiful psalms that we have, the Lord was speaking to David as a prophet to prophesy who the Lord would be when He came. In other words, God is able to speak to us about things that are outside our time. He's able to establish us in something that may not be with us right this second, but it's fixing to be with us in a short. And he says, I'm going to speak to you and I'm going to make it relevant to you right now so that when it comes, it's no longer a revelation. It's something you've already lived in and you know what I need you to do. There was a time back, it's been a long time now, probably 12, 13 years when we had a church split. And in that day, what I found out was that the Lord and my normal just daily writings, I would write in the morning and I would just sit down and I would just wait for the Spirit of God and I would write whatever he told me. And what I found out was that three months before the events, he wrote to me exactly everything that I was going to feel, what my emotions were going to be like, and what I needed to do to respond. Interestingly enough, without even having read that, because I didn't reread that until after the events were transpiring, I didn't reread it, but when I had gone back, I recognized that everything that I had done was exactly what had already been set out in his vision, in his visitation. So he'll tell you what's coming. He will open up to you about what's coming. He's opening up to Joshua in this moment about what's coming. He's telling him what is about to happen. And he's giving him the faith that it required to make it happen. Because, see, he was going to be required to walk around that city 7 times. 7 days. And then 7 times on the 7th day. That's a few trips. That's a whole lot of time for doubt and unbelief to creep in. That's a whole lot of time to become convinced that, you know what, dude, I just did this. I did this 6 days and I'm done. No, he asked him 7 times. When he asked Naaman to go jump in the river, he said, I want you to do it how many times? 7 times. God wants you to come into the place of completion with him. He wants you to come into a place of completion. And that's what he's trying to get across here, is this is a place of completion. I've already seen it. Now let's complete it. Now I want you to back up just with me just a couple of chapters here. Hallelujah. Wasn't worship good? Hallelujah. And it warmed my heart to just see Kim step up, and that was good. Carlos, great message. You guys have all been stepping up. Justin, you guys have been stepping up here. Vi, this morning, did I introduce? That was great. So, I'm going to go to Joshua 2. I want you to see something here before we go over to Numbers. And verse 9, and they had come in to Rahab. The spies had been sent in to Jericho here, and they'd come in to Rahab. Rahab had a disreputable reputation. But at the same time, she had something going on in her life that not everybody even in Israel had. She had faith. Because she had faith in the God that she saw interacting with these people. She had faith in a way that very few of the Israelites had. And here's what she has to say, verse 9. He said to the men, I know that the Lord has given you the land and that the terror of you has fallen on us. And that the inhabitants of the land have melted away before you. For we heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea before you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the 2 kings of the Amorites who were beyond the Jordan, to Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And when we heard it, verse 11, our hearts melted, and no courage remained in any man any longer because of you and because of the Lord your God. For your Lord, he is God in heaven above and on earth below. Now she just gave a testimony to the men who were supposed to be carrying the testimony. She just gave a testimony. She set out her faith in front of the men who were supposed to be the ones who were representing faith. She set out her faith, and that faith that she set out actually saved her and her family from what was to come. So your faith can separate you from the destruction that's around you. It doesn't matter what's going on around us. When we stand in faith, faith separates us from that destruction that's happening around us. It separates us and causes us to look a little different than our neighbor. If we have a season right now where it's going to be a whole lot easier for us to look a little different from our neighbor. Why? Because we're walking in faith, and faith is doing something on our behalf. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, just go with me to Numbers 13. Very familiar story. All of this is, I'm just kind of doing a little setup here. Glory to God. You guys need to be set up, right? Okay. So now we see that the spies were sent off into the land. They were sent off into the land. Oh, I'm sorry. Numbers 13. Let's go to verse 2. And send out for yourself men so that when they may spy out the land of Canaan, which I am going to give you, I'm going to give to the sons of Israel, you shall send a man from each of their father's tribes. So he's sending forth people into a land that, what? I am going to give you. I am going to give you. It's the active words and active verb in here. I am going to give you. And in other words, it's already in my heart. I'm just already telling you what's about to happen. I just need for you to get on board with me. I need for you to get on board. So he told them what was fixing to happen. And yet we see what Herod, what the response is. So they proceeded, verse 26, and they proceeded to come to Moses and Aaron and to the congregation of the sons of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at the Kadesh. And they brought back word to them and to show all the congregation the fruit of the land. They brought back these grapes that were so large that one cluster of grapes had to be strung on a staff between two men. They showed the fruit of the land in a remarkable way. They showed the promise that God had given, and they began to speak and release the goodness of the promise. Verse 27, thus they told him, we went to the land where you sent us, and surely it does flow with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Nevertheless, the people who live in the land are strong, and the cities are fortified and very large. And moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. And Amalek is living in the land of Negev, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites are living in the hill country. And the Canaanites, oh my gosh, the Canaanites are living by the sea and by the side of the Jordan. If there's an ite, there's out there. All the ites are out there. The ites are coming for us, and we don't know what to do. How about the word that was already spoken? The word that was already given. I am giving this land to you. I am standing with you, and I am already giving this land to you. Hallelujah. But the ites are coming. And then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, we should by all means go up and take possession of it, for we shall surely overcome it. There's one man who's standing in faith. But the men who had gone up with him said, we are not able. We're not able to go up against the people, for they are too strong for us. So they gave the sons of Israel a bad report out of the land which they had spied out. The land which we have gone is spying out is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people whom we saw are men of great size. And also we saw the Nephilim, the sons of Anak, are part of the Nephilim, and we became like grasshoppers in our own sight. And so we were in their sight. Now, number one job of a spy is what? To go look and not get caught. Okay? So meaning that you're going to go look and not get caught, there were no discussions between these spies and the people who were residing in the land. So they had no way of knowing what was in their heart. They had no way of thinking, no way of having a discussion to see that they were being despised. All of this came out of their own thought. Their own thought. God didn't change his mind. See, what we just talked about here was a 40-some year span. 40 years that they wandered in the wilderness. So this is before the 40 years. And we talked about what he promised after the 40 years. And it was the same promise. I've given it. See, I have given this to you. God didn't change his mind in those 40 years. He had intended for the first group to come up to it to take that land. The first group was supposed to walk in and take over. But why? Because they had already seen the miracles of God. They had already seen the hand of God that was with them time and time and time again. And over and over and over again, they had seen the hand of God work on their behalf. And they were supposed to be able by this time to create and operate in a little bit of faith. See, Justin talked about believing last Wednesday, and that's what he was looking, what the Lord was looking for was just somebody to believe. But we see that what we actually have is that out of the group that went, there was 12 spies who went in, 10 did not believe, and 2 believed. I don't know what caused Caleb to be different. See, Joshua kind of makes sense because he was standing in the tent of meeting with Moses all the time. And so he was exposed to the very presence of God. He was actually seeing God face to face in that place. And so there's an understanding in that point that he would be there. But Caleb just had the Spirit of God on him. Caleb invited the Spirit of God to be with him, and he stayed with him his entire life. That's something that you can actually engage. And in the same way that Caleb engaged, you didn't have to go see the Lord face to face to understand that the Lord exists and he was with him. Because the words that came out of his mouth demonstrate that. Hallelujah. Hello, Tracy. We see you out there. Glory to God. And so, in all this, what separated those two groups was what they allowed in their thought. The 10 spies who were in unbelief had a thought. Because they were more seeing, because everybody here has an opportunity to see. To see the blessing of God or the positioning of the enemy. You can see the blessing of God or you can see the positioning of the enemy. They didn't even realize that they had already been given something and the only person that was capable of taking it away was themselves. Sometimes we self-sabotage. We self-sabotage because we see something and we automatically disqualify ourselves for that blessing. See, right there, they actually had the opportunity for the blessing of the Lord to be upon them. To walk in the blessing, to walk in the fullness of God. It's God's great delight for you to walk in fullness. The only thing holding you back from the fullness of God is how you think. How I think. That's not just about you, it's about me. This is one of those ones where he's been showing me. And I'm going to I'm going to lighten my load by sharing it with you. Hallelujah. I'm going to lighten my load. You can have some of this. Glory to God. I see Glenn's throwing it back. Glory to God. So see, we get caught between, are we looking at the giants or are we looking at the gift? What's my focus? Because if I'm looking only at the giants, I'll never understand the gift. And I'll never understand that the gift was already given to me. And a gift is only requiring to be unwrapped. When somebody hands me a gift, I don't have to earn it. I don't have to do anything. I just have to open it. We open it. Or we go in or we jump outside and we start it up and we ride it off. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Come on. Yes. Did you catch that? Did you catch that out there in the sand? Hallelujah. Glory to God. That was too fun, but. See, God's promoting you, but you got to see it. You got to see it. You got to recognize it. You got to recognize when he's promoting. You got to see when he's promoting. You got to recognize he's promoting, because if I only see the enemy and I don't see the promotion, I'm going to miss the promotion. They missed. That whole generation and another generation missed the opportunity because God had to wait till the sons were ready to come in. But it was his intention 40 years, for 40 years to give them the land. The same land as the sea I have given to you. He'd already given Jericho to them at the day that he was trying to get them to enter in and cross over. We have to understand the heart of God for us. Recognize that we're not stopped because of the giants. We're stopped simply because how we're thinking about it. See, what happens is a lot of times our emotions begin to play with us. It's important that we recognize that our emotions are not truth. Don't let your emotions be your truth. Because if your emotions are your truth, they will always run you afoul of where God is going. Because faith and emotions don't mix. Faith and emotions, let's say it this way. In 2 Corinthians 5 and 7, it says that if we will walk by faith and not by sight. Why? Because sight is where we start getting our emotions connected to it. But if we're walking by faith, it doesn't matter what we're seeing out here. It doesn't matter what I heard out here. It doesn't matter what's going on. I'm walking by faith and not by the ocular evidence that is being presented in front of me. And when I begin to walk by faith, now I can begin to actually perambulate and move with the Lord and do what he's saying I can do. It's a revelation in our heart. See, all he's wanting us to do is to move with him. All he's wanting us to do is to come into agreement and alignment. We were sanctified by the blood of the cross. Colossians 1 tells us that. We were sanctified by the blood of the cross. And because we were sanctified by the blood of the cross, that opened up something for us. That meant now that we can become holy. Y'all are holy. When you've been sanctified by the blood of the cross, you may not feel like you're holy, but the word says you're holy. The word says you're unblameable and unreprovable. That's what the word is telling you. Faith is going to stand in a place where I can recognize the holiness of God in me. Faith recognizes that regardless of what else is going on, that in God's eyes, I'm already situated so that I'm unblameable. Now, that doesn't mean that I'm going to, in other words, in the world around you, you may not be responding to the world around you according to those things. But when you allow yourself to see it, you can position yourself that way. And as you go before the Father, it's already there in him. It's already there in his eyes. And it's already accounted to you in fullness. And as it's accounted to you in fullness, it becomes something you can acquire in your life. Every one of us can acquire it in our heart and in our life. We need to operate out of what His truth is. We talked about perambulating in truth. That means we begin to operate out of the truth of God, that I am His beloved. If I'm His beloved, that takes care of a whole lot of issues. I no longer have to be selfish with myself. Because how many know that selfishness is probably the root of almost every sin? And that comes to an abrupt end when I'm getting everything I need from the one who loves me. Glory. Hallelujah. This is not going where I thought it was going, but that's okay. Glory to God. Hallelujah. See, it's more than a feeling. See, when we get caught up in our insecurities, one of the greatest lies that the enemy convinces us of is that we're not adequate, that we're not worthy, that we're not good enough. Pretty much every lie that I deal with in Sozo comes from the basic lie that I'm not good enough. For whatever reason, for whatever connection, in other words, it always comes down to this belief sometimes somewhere in our core. The Lord says in John 4:23 that we're to worship Him in spirit and in... I like that. I like that. I heard a lot of truth. Yeah. Let's worship in spirit and in truth. That means, in truth means that at the reality, in other words, at the root, the reality underneath, the root, that means no more hiding. Worshiping God is not something that we do when we're facing the screen up here. Worshiping God is what we do with our life. It's what we walk in. It's what we carry with us everywhere that we go. It's who we are everywhere we are. It's what we begin to reflect on those who are around us, the worship of God, because the worship of God should be part of our character. It should be part of our outlook, and it should be part of our heart, so that everyone around us becomes aware that when they come into our presence, that we're worshiping God here. And we're worshiping God here. Now we're releasing something into their life that maybe they didn't get an opportunity for somewhere else. And as we do so because why? Because we're open to Him in truth. We're open to Him in truth. We're allowing His truth to be that which is being evident in us and to us, but also through us, meaning that we're no longer hiding behind something. The very first thing, remember last week with Adam and Eve, as soon as they were aware that the covering of God wasn't on them, they began to hide. We've been hiding ever since. But see, shame and fear don't have to be part of your life. You don't have to hide anymore. When it comes to your Heavenly Father, you don't have to hide anymore. You can step in and enjoy Him in the fullness of everything that He has, because it's His desire, His delight to bring you into that fullness. It's His delight to bring you into His design in your life. And that design didn't include hiding and being in shame and being in fear. Remember? Who told you that? I liked what Mike, when he went home and he actually did that sermon like right afterwards, and I'm gonna expect that this week too. But I mean, within a couple hours he had it up and he named it. Who told you that you were not covered? Who told you that you weren't covered? And the reality is, That's the same deal for everything. In this situation here with the spies and them not being able to come in was because they were listening to a voice that was telling them something that God didn't tell them. We only do that when we begin to enter in and entertain our emotions. I'm not saying don't have emotions. I'm saying because emotions are good if you allow them to be good. But if emotions are taking you somewhere that's not holy, if emotions are taking you somewhere that's not good or healthy, then leave it alone. You don't have to have those emotions. You don't have to stay in a place of depression. I'm here to tell you today, you don't have to be lonely if you'll give it to God. You don't have to be depressed if you'll give it to God. I'm going to tell you right now, you don't have to stay in a place of abandonment because God has not abandoned you. What you're staying in, what you're living in is a lie. And if you'll break agreement with the lie, God can begin to release truth in your life. And the more truth you have in your life, the freer that you become and the more that you can exhibit that to others. There was a time when I was afraid to say anything in front of anybody. Why? Because in my past life, there wasn't much that I didn't say that didn't include cuss words. And I was afraid that that might happen in my new life too. But I began to see that God had done something and changed something inside where those things were just repulsive even to the thought of it, much less the act of it. So he changed my whole vocabulary in a short bit. I remember the very first time that I ever worked on a car and I didn't cuss. It was like a miracle. Because it never happened in my 20-some years of working on cars before that. Smashing my finger and I didn't say nothing. I said, oh, Jesus, help me. See, God can change us when we begin to live in his truth. As long as I was holding on to the lie, see, even the fear of a lie will hold you into a place that you don't need to be. But if I examine his truth and I allow myself to perambulate in his truth, I allow myself to walk with him in truth, if I allow myself to see with him in truth, and I can begin to see myself and I can begin to understand that I am righteousness walking. And I'll begin to be righteousness walking. Not because I'm trying to, but simply because something's in me shifted. Something in me changed, and it's no longer holding me back. So we walk by faith, not by sight. Go with me to James 3. Walk by faith, not by sight. Walk by faith, not by sight. Hallelujah. I'm going to put some blindfolds on up here and just see you walk by faith. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Pam Main, see you out there. Tracy, see you out there. Anybody else out there? Hello. Glory to God. We talked about Solomon earlier. James 3. I just told you James, didn't I? James 3. Verse 13. Who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show by his good behavior his deeds in the gentleness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and lie against the truth. This is the wisdom is not that which comes down from the above, but is earthly, natural, or sensual, and demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, every disorder and every evil thing. In other words, where there's selfishness, that opens the door to tumult. That's another word, or confusion. Where there's selfishness, that opens the door to things that are unholy and unhealthy. Like we said earlier, probably every sin starts at some form, some place in selfishness. But this is what we're talking about, is that the wisdom that is earthly or natural, it's sensual. Sensual doesn't mean sexual. Sensual means as of the senses, the things that we can touch, taste, see, hear. That kind of sensual is when our wisdom comes from those places, it comes from the natural earth, it can never produce righteousness, peace, and joy. Why? Because it was informed by the wrong source. It was informed by the earth and the earth curse rather than heaven above. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the one clap. God, I worked hard for that one clap. Glory to God. Probably didn't even hear that on the podcast here. So hallelujah. Come on. But see, when things are sensual, we get trapped into believing a lie. Our emotions will guide us into something that's not true. Our emotions, a lot of times, are informed by the lies that we believe rather than the word of God in what it says. I'll give you an example. How many of you have seen The Lion King? Okay? And you knew that this was a made-up story, right? It's a cartoon. And you cried, didn't you? You cried when Mufasa died. You cried your heart out. It was wrong. Your emotions were manipulated by something you knew before you started watching it. It wasn't true. Your emotions were manipulated by sound and sight. They were manipulated by things that had no bearing whatsoever to do with truth. We watched a Hallmark movie yesterday. And I cried. It was good. Actually, it was really biblical. It was kind of interesting. They said a lot of scriptures in there, but it still manipulated my emotions, and it was a lie. Because at the end of the movie, they were all good, and we know that they were good, but there was a place where they weren't good. And you cried. Your heart was manipulated. Your heart goes out to something that doesn't even exist. See, it's only because that we have this ability to believe these lies, okay? This ability to believe these lies that things like homosexuality even exist. I know, he said it. Oh, my God. But what I want you to understand that whole thing, that whole thought process is based in a lie and manipulated by emotions. And the longer that you allow the emotions to be manipulated, the greater the lie becomes. And now you suddenly have accepted it as truth. That all those things come from a spirit that's operating. I know it got really quiet in here, but it's truth. You need to understand. It's not something that we need to hide from. That's something that we need to recognize that, hey, I'm here because I want to be a light into this situation, because I want to shine God's love into this situation and help this person receive enough light that they can come out of the darkness. Every one of us, if you're here according to Colossians 1, if you're here and you've accepted Christ in your life, that means the Father reached in and He took you out of the darkness and brought you into the light. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Because, why? Because that's what God does. And it's our job to come alongside now. To come alongside and be a representative and allow somebody else to see enough light that they can come. That doesn't mean you sit there and you talk bad about them. No, you bring light and love until the light and love do what the light and love do. Yeah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Okay, we're going to tackle that one. Glory to God. See, here's this from the wisdom above, verse 17. This is the wisdom from heaven. It's pure, peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruit, unwavering and without hypocrisy. And the seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. It's sown in peace by those who make peace. He's given you the ability to create peace because you're allowing righteousness to rise up in you and be spoken and released into the situation around you. You may come into a situation that does not look like peace. You may be the situation that does not look like peace. But you can speak peace into it. You can speak righteousness into it. And as you speak and release righteousness into it, it shifts everything about it. You don't have to stay where you find it. You can begin to take authority over it because God gave you the authority. Hallelujah. Isaiah 32, I'm going to wrap this up. Because we don't do, if you want to have, would you let them know that we're going to be finishing up in just a moment because we're going to do communion together? Isaiah 32. Verse 17. For the work of righteousness will be peace, and the service of righteousness quietness and confidence forever. And then my people will live in a peaceful habitation, secure dwelling, and undisturbed resting places. Isaiah 32, verse 17. When we begin to focus on the righteousness of God, we let the righteousness of God come up within us. As we let the righteousness of God come up within us, then peace will be a natural result reflected into the situation around you. It will be a natural shift of the situation around you. Sometimes, I would like to tell you it's always immediate. It's not always immediate. Some days it takes a little extra getting there. I'd like to tell you that doesn't have to happen. I can remember a time when the unrighteousness at my house was at such a level that when I would leave work, I actually got a key to the church from Pastor LaRue. At that time, I was not part of staff or anything. I just begged for a key because I would stop by the church on my way home and I would just throw myself on the altar and cry out for God. And I would cry out for God, and I would stay there, and I would cry out for God, and I would pray over my situations at home, and I would pray over everything that was there. And no one knew except Keith, because I would turn the stereo on, and I would have it blasting, and Keith lived there, and he would come out, and he would worship with me, and we would just be laying on that altar, just laying on there, and just sobbing, and just crying out for God, day after day after day, and because that was the only way that I could go home. Because the unrighteousness, the things that were happening at home were not peaceful. But see, God answered those things. When you walk into my house now, you feel the peace. When you walk into my house now, people understand that there's the peace. It sits there. It hits a habitation that stays there all the time. It's amazing. Why? And it's not something that I'm doing anymore. It's just something that we're being as a group. Kim and myself, and then even my boys, when they come back in, they know and understand there's something that shifts in them when they come in the house. Hallelujah. But see, that's the working when you begin to stand in righteousness. What is that? That just means being aligned with God. Righteousness is just being in alignment with Him. Hallelujah. So, I think that's good for this. That's good for this. So we worship in spirit and in, right? Because why? Because I don't want to be a product of the devil's lies anymore. I don't want to miss any more opportunities because of the devil's lies. I don't want to miss any more opportunities because I sabotaged myself because the enemy wasn't capable of keeping them out. The enemy couldn't keep them out of the promised land. Only they could keep them out. And it has all to do with how I think, what I allow myself to think. what I'll engage. And when I put my eyes on Jesus, when I put my eyes on the prize, when I put my eyes on the Father, when I begin to allow the Father to speak into me, now I can begin to receive the benefit of the Father speaking over my life. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 No more communications crisis. Glory to God. I'm gonna share one thing here. This has nothing to do with today's lesson. This has to do with the communion time. And did our youth get down here yet? They're coming. What's that? Yeah. Yeah. Do you have copies of it? Okay. Let me just show you real quick. There are in the foyer some prayer points and decrees for our nation right now. This came out of Patricia King and her camp, and they're very simple, straightforward. They're really good, and I think that they keep us on task and keep us focused, because it's really important that we be praying for our nation, especially in this last 100 days leading up. We're 99 days leading up to an election. It's probably the most important election coming, the most important election of our life. And so we need to be praying these things for the nation, and so releasing the nation, releasing the power of God over this nation like no other time before. Amen. So just take a look at them. Pick up a copy for yourself. I appreciate it, because we want to be a praying church. We have the opportunity to be a praying church in a way that very few other people do. Why? Because we understand who we are in God, and we understand the power of the right hand and what the right hand can do as we begin to stand over something and begin to speak from the place of already being seated with Jesus and releasing the peace, releasing the change, releasing the harvest out of that place.